Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's a delight to have you on the air with us today. Looking forward to our dialogue and discussion together. It's always wonderful to have you to participate as you call in and discuss and ask questions and join in with your input. It makes the program a whole lot better for other listeners to be able to understand the breadth and the depth of the issue that we're dealing with. So let me remind you right up front that you can do that by dialing 401-1413. 401-1413 is the telephone number that gets you straight through to the studios and allows you to get right to our microphone so that we can have this discussion together. Ladies and gentlemen, we have an important subject to discuss today, and I pray that as you join in the dialogue and discussion that you will have input that will be a larger development of the subject. Let me remind you again that number is 401-1413. We're going to be talking about a wake-up call for the church. A wake-up call for the church. But before we get into the monologue and the discussion on that, let me just simply say to you once again that when we face issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of philosophy or what I think or say. It's a matter of what the Scripture says that should be the guide point, the discussion point, the illumination for our path is what the Word of God says. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus so resoundingly stated, "Thy word is truth." And so if you want to find truth, go to the Scripture, go to the Word of God. You certainly can't go to the political elements in society today and search for truth. You can't go to Washington and search for truth. You can't ask a Democrat or a Republican and find truth. You can't find truth outside the truth, which is the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a Scripture that I find so profoundly adequate and applicable to the subject that we're talking about today. And we're talking further about the Judge Kavanaugh evisceration that's taking place in Washington, where they're trying to destroy the man. But my Bible says in Psalms chapter 11 and verse 3, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" That ought to be an alarming word, an alarming statement from the Scripture for every Christian and for every conservative today. What can we do? What ought we to do? And let me just remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that God created the home, God created government, and God created the church. And according to my Bible in Romans, the 13th chapter, God says that government is the minister of God. Government, let's just broaden it, say the political elements, we call that government, ought to recognize that they are under the auspices, the direction, and the control of God. God set up government, and by the way, that started, ladies and gentlemen, in the 9th chapter of Genesis, when God's word so clearly sets forth that if you take a person's life, your life is to be taken. It's called capital punishment. And from that we find unfurled throughout the balance of the Scripture, God's law being set in the hearts and the minds of men. And it is the law of God that formulates and gives the foundation for all of the laws in the nation today. And because of our having a constitutional republic, not a democratic, socialist, free-for-all type of society and governance today. Scripture says that God gave government as a minister, and it's designed of God to prosecute and to punish evil and to protect good. And yet we find that so reversed today. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps the most important single event, listen to me carefully, perhaps the most important single event on the calendar for this century is November the 6th election. Now you say, well, why does a preacher, why does a Christian have to talk about elections? It's because, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the world but not of the world. And as Christians, we are responsible for being salt and light in a darkening, decaying society. We ought to recognize that God's Word says that perilous times shall come, and we're in those perilous times. And that word perilous in 2 Timothy 3 simply is talking about dark, dangerous, devastating, destructive days. And that's where we are today. And we're finding a free-for-all in Washington, and we're recognizing that we have a major, major problem in the governance system of our nation. In fact, when the Senator Flake stands and says he's going to vote for Kavanaugh out of committee, but he wants another investigation before the final vote by the whole Senate. Ladies and gentlemen, that was simply a ploy engaged by the left, promulgated through the Rhino Republican in name only, Jeff Flake, because Jeff Flake literally detests President Donald Trump. But ladies and gentlemen, we the people will decide just what kind of government we want. It will either be a constitutional republic that we have today, that we continue that, or it will become a democratic socialist anarchist government. The choice is ours. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just tuck this little statement in. I believe for Florida, October the 9th is the deadline for registering to vote. If you're not registered to vote, do it. Register. Be ready to vote. And ladies and gentlemen, every vote counts. We've got folks in the legislature in Tallahassee today that's there as a result of two votes. We have today, as a result of one vote on the Supreme Court, we have sodomite marriages today that's viewed as being legal in the United States of America as a result of one vote. And I could go on and on and on giving you examples of what one vote or two votes can do. And so your vote as a constitutionalist, your vote as a conservative, your vote as a Christian of all things ought to be cast in the way that would please God. Not a matter of denominational distinctive, not a matter of being a Democrat or Republican, but what does the Bible say? It's an impossibility, ladies and gentlemen, for an individual to claiming to be a Democrat that believes in sodomite marriages, that believes in anarchy rule, that believes in right to murder a baby in the mother's womb. I don't see how a person can say I'm a Christian and say I'm a Democrat. It is an oxymoron, ladies and gentlemen. But if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing today the destruction of the what I would simply call the foundations. We're watching the destruction of the moral, ethical, biblical foundations of America, the constitutional republic that we have, the rule of law. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the rule of law came out of common law, and it's been in existence for over 800 years, codified in our Constitution, and that is the rule of law. And the rule of law, simply put, in the Youngblood vernacular says, you're innocent until proven guilty. It is left to the prosecutorial staff, the board, the ones making the prosecutional statement to prove that you're guilty. But we've turned that upside down. We've turned it on its ear. If I can use the term, we've thrown a monkey wrench in the whole deal in Washington today simply trying to say that Judge Kavanaugh is guilty. There's no evidence of it. There's no empirical evidence. He's been searched out by the FBI over six times. This is the seventh time now as a result of Jeff Flake. The judge is going through the seventh background check. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh and the Senate circus, as I call it, I believe have simply what I'm calling revealing the real sewer in Washington. What you see happening with the Senate and the Kavanaugh confirmation led by Dianne Feinstein, the left lunatic in Washington, and they simply think that it's okay to use the scorched earth approach to destroy Judge Kavanaugh because they hate Donald Trump and they do not want to see a conservative judge seated on the U.S. Supreme Court. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can call and join in this dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Democratic Socialist in the Senate, both in the House and the Senate, that's filled with Trump derangement syndrome that's been revealed in the sheer hatred for Donald Trump. The Trump voters, as you know, are viewed as the incorrigibles. We're viewed as the basket full of deplorables. We're simply viewed as the off-scouring of the earth because we voted for and we support a conservative in the presidency, and we're wanting a conservative on the U.S. Supreme Court. Ladies and gentlemen, as conservatives and as Christians, we must realize that if Judge Kavanaugh is denied confirmation, every man, every boy, every child will be in jeopardy for the rest of his life and for the future of America. We will have destroyed the rule of law. We will have destroyed the innocent until proven guilty mantra that we find in the rule of law. Just how do we disprove a negative? Judge Kavanaugh is being asked to do that. And ladies and gentlemen, you've got some left-wing extremists now that are now harping on the news programs, the Communist Network News, the fake news that's now going around the circuit, saying, "Why, we don't need Judge Kavanaugh on the bench, because after all, he got bristled up in the back and he was confrontive and he was angry when he was interviewed." Put yourself in that position. Would you get angry? Would you be bent out of shape if you're being lied about? Your reputation is being destroyed. Your family is being destroyed. Your future job, if your future profession is being destroyed. What would you do? How would you respond? I think he was very controlled. I think he had a very controlled temperament to be able to say and to respond as he did. But how do you disprove a negative? May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the charge against Judge Kavanaugh is almost 40 years old. That is 36 plus. I use the term almost 40. Perhaps we need to review some of the accusations and the source of the credibility of the one making the charges. And we'll go down that list in just a moment. But right now we have a caller. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood.
Yes, sir.
It's good that I'm able to get through to you today, because I've been listening at you for a long time. I've been listening at you for a long time, and until I heard you, I thought I was alone out here. But now I thank God for you, and I thank God for the work that you do, because I thought I was alone out here. You know, you're right that they don't like Donald Trump, and because they don't like Donald Trump, he fight a hard battle with the liberals because they don't like him. But what I like about Donald Trump, and I'm glad that you have the program where we should express ourselves, is that I believe upon the Donald Trump that we could serve God and get a job.
Absolutely, brother.
Yes, sir. So I just want to let you know that there's some black people out here who hear you. And that,
amen.
Yeah,
well, brother,
we believe in what you're saying.
Keep up the good work and tell everybody to vote. But by the way, when we think about that, I was reading an article just this morning of a Hispanic man that said that I'll quote him. He said, "I voted for Barack Obama in 2008. I voted for Barack Obama in 2012. I've followed the Democratic ticket since I have been a citizen in America." He said, "But this Judge Kavanaugh fiasco and what they have done to that man," he said, "from this point forward, I will vote conservative. I will vote for President Trump and his agenda and for the conservatives that's up for election on November the 6th. And so I pray that it'll open other eyes. Brother, keep on praying, keep on working, keep on being the salt and light that God's called us to be. Because when God sees us, he's not looking at ethnicity. He's not looking at skin pigmentation. We're of the same race. That's the human race. And God charges us with the responsibility of, as human beings, to do that which is morally, ethically, biblically right. And so I am thankful for your call, and keep on keeping on, and be that which God would have us to be.
Yes, sir. God bless you.
All right, God bless you, and you have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Judge Kavanaugh and his accuser. Let me just go down the list, a little checklist. I think anytime we have something like that, we need to go back and check up on the facts to see if they be factual or if there be some unethical statements made that needs to be entered into what I call the understanding record. It was 36 years ago, and Christine Blasey Ford was a 15-year-old girl and said that Brett Kavanaugh, then 17, tried to take her clothes off. They have, ladies and gentlemen, the media has so scrambled that, that's originally what she said. And that's where he is accused of attempted rape. But ladies and gentlemen, let's just put that aside for just a moment. Ford does not know the day. She does not know the date. She does not know the time. She does not remember the place. And now she is saying that she is certain that he did that, but she doesn't even know the house that it took place in. Ford said four other people were present, and though all four of those say they were not present, they do not know what she's talking about. Christine Blasey Ford does not know how she got to the house. She does not know how she left the house. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, in her later account, she's now saying that she knows it was that certain date because, and I quote, "I didn't even have my driver's license at that time," end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, she's now trying to pinhole, buttonhole exact times and dates, but she doesn't know the date, the place, the time, the house, or who was there, who was not there, because those that she said was there say they were not there at all. We must also review what Ford, Christine Blasey Ford, does not tell. She does not tell, and she omits some of the facts. She is an anti-Trump, anti-conservative, Women's March, Operation Pink feminist, liberal, that when you go online, you can find all kinds of photographs where she's standing out on the street corner where she is attempting to defame and destroy Donald Trump and the conservatives. She is a staunch, in-your-face activist that's against anything that you and I, as moral, ethical, Christian conservatives, would believe would be factual. She is a pawn, ladies and gentlemen, in the hands of the Democratic agenda, and that Democratic agenda is out to destroy President Donald Trump. Let's just be very realistic. Let's face the issues. It's not a matter of Judge Kavanaugh. It is a matter of knocking him out of the race, if you will, refusing to confirm him to be a slap in the face of President Trump. And ladies and gentlemen, Christine Blasey Ford's attorney, Deborah Katz, is a liberal activist. She also is involved in the liberal activism across America with a designed purpose of overthrowing a properly elected president of the United States of America. Ford claimed that she was fearful of flying on an airplane, and therefore she could not come to Washington, although she finally did, as you know. But yet it was discovered over the past several months that she's flown 8 or 10 times, literally all over the world. So, ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with her credibility. And yet there's some on the left that's wanting to accuse Judge Kavanaugh of having a credibility problem. Ford claims that she had to have her house remodeled and add a second front door. Now, I don't know about you, but it's laughable to me when in her testimony before the Senate, she said she had a house remodeled over a long period of time and she had to add a second front door because of her fear from the past, the so-called assault that she had been confronted with. Yet we discover the second front door is literally, according to the records, and I've got documents in my hand to say so, the second front door was added to allow a portion of her house to be used as her professional business office and also as an entrance, a private entrance, to access the apartment she's renting out to apartment dwellers, which both of those cases are illegal in the zoning for her home that she's in under the laws in California. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
It is very sad to hear what the liberals are doing in America, trying to destroy this great nation. They started it with the foundation of the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of human life, and now they are destroying the judicial system. So now you are guilty until you can prove you are innocent. I mean, this is nonsense. And it's unfortunate that so many so-called Christians, they don't see the devil, because that's what it is. It's a spiritual battle for the future of America. That's what we as Christians need to be.
Absolutely.
Praying for this country, because the Democrats, I'm sorry to say, they are not on the side of God. They're completely opposite. And it's sad to say, but I'm going to say as a minority, you got so many minority people, Christians, giving their votes for handouts from the government, welfare, and any kind of assistance with no regard for the Bible. What do you think about those Christians selling out their boats with no regard for the Bible? I mean, this is unbelievable.
Brother, I'm glad that you brought that up because you're exactly right. Let's think about that for a moment, what our caller has just said. Ladies and gentlemen, if you say that you're saved and we say that we're Christians, we need to vote as a Christian. We need to be morally, ethically founded in the Scripture, and we need to take a stand. It's not a matter of liberal. It's not a matter of conservative or liberal. It's not a matter of Democrat or Republican. It's a matter of being honorable before God. And I agree with you, brother, when you say that, because we need to understand that Christians in America today need to come out of the closet. We need to speak up, need to be heard and seen. You realize that in 2012, 51% of the Christians didn't even vote, and that's what caused Barack Hussein Obama to go into office, is as a result of Christians being silent and keeping sequestered in their homes. And many pastors, we need to understand also, it's not just the Christian in the pew, many pastors are frightened, petrified to stand and speak the truth in love of saying this is what the Word of God says. And as Christians, we need to be salt and light. I agree with you, brother, and it's
and
something
what bothers
we need
me, to... You know what it is, brother? What bothers me the most? Pulpit, they put race and the skin color before the Bible. I'm sorry, that's completely wrong. Listen, if my father is from same-sex marriage and he's for abortion, and I'm the deciding vote for him to become president, I'm sorry, Daddy, I love you, but I'm gonna put my God first. Why not many leaders take that stand? They look at the skin color and they don't care about the rest, about the Bible. This is unbelievable, brother. We have to pray a lot. God bless you. Thank you very much for your program.
Thank you for your call, and thank you for your wonderful comment. You're exactly right. We need, as I've said before, and I've said many, many, many times, God created one race, and it's the human race, and he is not concerned about pigmentation of the skin. He's not concerned about ethnicity and origin. He is concerned about our heart, and as Christians, this is the reason I'm saying today, ladies and gentlemen, I believe what we're seeing in the Senate today with the attempt to assassinate and to eviscerate Judge Brett Kavanaugh is a wake-up call to the church. If this does not wake us up, if this does not call the Christian to get out of the chair of complacency, if this does not motivate you to be alarmed, and as a result of your alarm that you're going to the polls and vote, and when we vote, we need to vote that which is biblical, not that which is a democracy or a Democrat or a Republican, but vote that which is biblical, that which is honorable before God. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, here's the complete list of inconsistencies and lies that prove Christine Ford's accusations against Judge Kavanaugh belong in the trash heap. And it's a very lengthy article, but it's talking about, first and foremost, that which I just spoke of, about her two front doors. This article says, and I'm looking at the picture of her home, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, and it says here, Christine Ford told Congress, the Washington Post, that, and her far-left activist lawyers, that her memories of Kavanaugh when she put a second front door on a house in 2012. But the photographs of the property of her home and the doors were installed before 2011. And it goes on to talk about Christine Ford's testimony to Congress was littered with lies and inconsistencies. Of course, the liberal media once again ignoring the truth. And this list is almost, I'm going to say it's, let's see, about two pages long. And I'll not take time to deliberately go over each of these two pages. But ladies and gentlemen, it is simply a fact that as we think about what this dear person has done, she has distorted the truth on every hand. She has absolutely destroyed the factual information that must be gathered. And so therefore, ladies and gentlemen, even though I disagreed with putting Judge Kavanaugh through the seventh background check with the FBI, it is my prayer that the background check, the seventh one now being done, will come forth and they will have interviewed Christine Blasey Ford and ask her some questions about when that front door was put in. Ask her some questions about what does that second front door allow. It allows those coming in for her professional business or counseling service. It allows those coming in for the apartment dwellers dwelling in her home as an apartment unit and not as a single family home. This article goes further to say, an Arizona prosecutor, Rachel Mitchell, who questioned Ford under oath, told Republican senators there is, quote, no way that she would prosecute Judge Brett Kavanaugh based on the testimony by Christine Blasey Ford. Ladies and gentlemen, that's because there's no consistencies in her testimony. That's because the overwhelming majority of it is made up diatribe in order to try to prove her point. Here's an article that says, Judging Kavanaugh. last week in one of history's most dramatic days of Senate testimony, accuser Christine Blasey Ford described persuasively her emotional allegations of sexual encounter 36 years ago with the now Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Then came her passionate denial that any such encounter happened, leaving the nation debating on which of them was lying. Further down in the article, listen carefully. Memory is a tricky thing, explained retired University of California at Irving professor Richard McKenzie in the Wall Street Journal. Quote, my colleague Elizabeth Loftus was able to implant false memories into many people, he wrote, by showing them an official looking poster of Mickey characters, Disney characters, including Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny. Many of these people later remembered meeting Bugs Bunny on a childhood trip to Disneyland. Some of them even reported that Bugs Bunny had touched them inappropriately. But this was impossible, he writes. Bugs Bunny isn't even a Disney character. Ford, now 51 years of age, a psychologist professor, had no clear recollection of what happened one summer night 36 years ago. Listen, until she sought out professional help to recover her memory. Researchers believe memory is scattered and is fragmented in the brain. In retrieving memories, people reassemble themselves, writes McKenzie, and fill in the blanks in condensed versions of the truth. That process is fraught with the risk of error, especially when heavy drinking or drugs are involved, end quote. And ladies and gentlemen, now that is mentioned, it gets to the point where in her Christine Blasey Ford's yearbooks of her sophomore, junior, and senior years, it is absolutely strewn with a profligate lifestyle, even as a 15, 16, 17-year-old Christine Blasey Ford. And I'm not just talking off the top of my head. I'm talking about looking at her yearbook. I'm here looking at an extensive article with facsimiles of her yearbook pages, which, by the way, has been washed today. They're no longer found on the internet. But in this article, it points out the fact that she was heavily involved in drinking. She was heavily involved in promiscuity. She was heavily involved in partying. She was heavily involved in everything that's antithetical to anything that would be called a pristine, moral, ethical young lady, even at her age. Ford's own yearbook, as I state in my declaration on this, Ford's own yearbook, which was, by the way, not introduced in the Senate hearings, but Judge Kavanaugh's yearbook was, now recalls that Christine Blasey Ford, it reveals that she was very promiscuous as a young lady. Parties, sex, drinking seemed to be the normal life for her. Christine Blasey Ford, the account goes on to point out, had very little to do with anything that would be called an academic lifestyle and a desire to go to school for that purpose. Here's something. Dr. Robert Jeffers, pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, makes a very profound statement that I think I need to read to us that kind of sets the stage for what I think we're looking at, and I've said this in many other fashions. Regarding Jeff Flake's delay in Kavanaugh's vote, Dr. Jeffers says, dealing with the left is like dealing with the devil. It gains you nothing, but yet it costs you everything. Franklin Graham said of this, yesterday's hearing was an embarrassment. It was definitely not one of America's better days. Let's pray that our country will do better than this. Judge Brett Kavanaugh said, this has ruined his reputation, devastated his family. Unfortunately, this is Franklin Graham speaking, I'm afraid that's exactly what the minority leadership wanted to do. That's just a shame. The Bible says a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, Proverbs 22:1. Pray today, Franklin Graham says, pray today for Judge Kavanaugh, Dr. Ford, and members of the Senate Judiciary Committee that the process will come to a conclusion soon. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to wake up and recognize the church is at stake. The Christian is at stake. Our moral ethical testimony is at stake in America. Keep on keeping on, and may I remind you, join us once again tomorrow as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.